Take your Bibles now for just a couple of minutes. We're going to be reminded from Scripture about the birth of Christ. And we're, as they said, enter into the celebration and shout with jubilation. Christ was born. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Beautiful, beautiful biblical account of how it happened. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Notice it's capitalized W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Be sure you get that. Jesus did not begin to exist in Bethlehem's manger or in the womb of Mary. Jesus existed long before that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, very God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. He was part of the creation process. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was involved in the making of Adam and Eve and all of the splendors of heaven and this earth, everything. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now go to verse 14. And the Word, that's Jesus, the Word was made flesh. That's the incarnation. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, and I like this phrase, full of grace and truth. Now, there's what it's all about. Now, who was born? It's hard for us to understand and comprehend it, but God was born. Now, God existed, but God was born, and He took upon Himself human flesh. And yet, as we always have to point out, yet without sin. But He was born. Why did Jesus, who is God, have to come into this world in human flesh? What were the reasons for it? Well, He came to be, one thing He came to be was a servant. And the other thing was to be a king. A servant and a king. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ that we're talking about here. And Jesus was born in the flesh so He could, first of all, live a sinless life. He had to come in the flesh. He had to live a life without any sin whatsoever in order to qualify to be our substitute. So thank God for the baby, amen? Thank God He took on human flesh, though without sin. And He came and lived a sinless life to satisfy God with God's demands. Not only that, He came as a servant in order to die for us. We love the scene of the little baby in Bethlehem. And if somebody's in a Christmas play and they have a tiny little baby, a real little baby, we love to see that. And most people want to go up and kiss that little baby. And the parents are hoping, I hope that baby doesn't cry while we're having this Christmas program. But we think about this little baby, what a beautiful scene that is. But that baby grows up and finally dies on the cross of Calvary, taking our place. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us so that we might see His glory. And He came to die for us. Make no mistake about it, that's why He came. And it wasn't an entrapment, and it wasn't something that fooled Him, and it wasn't something that surprised Him. He knew that He came to this world to die for us as a servant, the servant of His Father, and the servant of mankind, to take our place. Jesus Christ, born to be a servant, born to live a sinless life. Thank God He was born to give us eternal life. I have eternal life tonight as my present possession. I'm going to heaven someday. One of these days, if Christ tarries his coming, I'm going to check out of this life, but I'm going to heaven to an eternal life with Jesus Christ. You say, well, you must really think you're a mighty good man if you're so confident and sure that when you die, you're going to spend eternity in heaven. Oh, no. It has nothing to do with confidence in me, but it has all to do with the confidence in Jesus Christ. Jesus was born, and he came as a servant and lived the perfect life, died on the cross, and offered to me the gift of eternal life. We give a lot of gifts at Christmas. We receive some gifts. I've already received some. That's why I'm gaining weight. And I'm going to have to go on that diet January the 1st. And some other gifts. It's nice to receive gifts. It's good to give gifts. But the greatest gift, and you know what I'm going to say, is the gift of eternal life. Isn't it strange that of all the gifts people receive, some have not received that gift? You may be here like that tonight. You've never received the gift of eternal life. That's very foolish on your part. God paid for it. Jesus came and paid the demands that God required. And Jesus says, here's the gift. I give you eternal life. Everlasting life. Not in hell, but in heaven. Eternal, everlasting life. Life without end. Infinity. On and on and on and on. And we're going to have it if we have received the gift, and he offers us that. That's why he came. He came not only to do that, but to give us abundant life. You see, we are supposed to be victorious Christians tonight. He said, I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. You talk about people who are really living it up, it's Christians. The rest of that crowd's all mixed up. They think they're living it up, but they're really not. If they know Christ, they are. He came to give us abundant life. Not for us to be whipped, licked, non-victorious. Not for us to be dragged down by some puny sin in our life, but to give us abundant life. Life that is a life where we are crucified to self every day. And we, like Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live, yet not me, but Christ liveth in me. Every day of our life, we have the right to have abundant life, to be happy in Jesus Christ. Come trial, come problem, come blessing, whatever it may be, we have the right to eat abundant life in Jesus Christ. And I believe I have it tonight, and you have it, and we ought to enter into it and understand that he's given us not just life. A lot of people have life, but we have life more abundantly because of Christ. Much more could be said about that. But not only that, he died so he could pay the price and be raised, and now he is our great high priest at the right hand of the Father. I, knowing Baptists like I do, we keep him pretty busy. The Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, making intercession for us. You say, preacher, how does he do that? I can't explain how he can do it, but he does it. He makes intercession for you. And he reminds the Father somehow in that relationship. I died for her. I died for him. And Lord, they've asked for forgiveness. And God, I died for them. And I shed my blood for them on the cross. So forgive them. And he's making intercession for us. My child has a need, Lord. Father, grant that need. I don't know what all the intercessory work of Christ involves, but I know it's a lot, and I'm glad that he came to be a servant. And now he's at the right hand of the Father, and he's still serving us tonight, there at the right hand of the Father. But not only did he come to be a servant, but as I mentioned, he came to be a king. That's why there was gold and frankincense and myrrh. That's why they brought all of those gifts to the Lord Jesus Christ from the east. And they brought that to him because, in fact, he was a king. A little baby, who brings that kind of, who trusts a little baby with gold? let alone a teenager? Who trusts a little baby with all of these other things, let alone a little child? But here they're bringing it, and of course it's symbolic because Jesus is a king. He's a king. I preached about that king this morning. He's the one that is sitting at the right hand of the Father, just waiting the word. Where the Father says, "Son, go get my people. Go get your bride. Bring them on up here with us. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then we're going to come back. They're going to come back with you, and you're going to set up your kingdom." That's for a king. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. And he someday is going to come back, hallelujah, to the Lamb. They said, I think the Spanish used little piñatas that are lambs. That's beautiful, isn't it, about Christmas? Because that's where we got it from, the Lamb of God. But the tiny baby and the little lamb and the suffering Savior, that's not going to be that way anymore. He'll never have to come in the flesh again. He'll never have to go through crucifixion again. He'll never have to be humiliated and shamed in front of the world anymore. When he comes back, he's coming back as King of Kings. And we shall crown him King of Kings. I hope that I can earn not salvation, but some crowns. I hope I'm earning some right now. But you know what I want to do with them? What I think every one of us will want to do with them is take them and put them at the blessed, sweet, precious, lovely feet of Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is King. I hope he's King of your life. And his kingdom, of his kingdom, there is no end. It'll never end. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that great? I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I hope you are. Do you know Christ? Have you made room for him in your heart? Have you let him in? Is he your Redeemer? Is he your Savior? If so, hallelujah to the Lamb. I'm glad. But there just might be even just one person. I said about the sweet little girl that got saved down here this morning, got saved and came down and we introduced her to you. If she had been the only one in this world, the only one, that was a sinner, Jesus would have still died for her. We minimize the value of one soul, one little girl getting saved. We hardly even get excited about it anymore. We get so used to it, we ought to be thrilled in our souls when anybody gets saved. But friend, you can be saved. There may be one, just one here tonight. I'm not asking you, listen carefully, I'm not asking you, are you a member of the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church or the Episcopalian Church or the Lutheran Church or the Methodist Church or any other church? That's beside the main point. Now you say, well, what would you be if you wasn't a Baptist? I'd be ashamed of myself. That's all I can say about it. But that's beside the point, amen? In all seriousness, here's the main thing. Your church isn't going to save you. All the rituals of your church have nothing under the sun to do with you being born again. They may be symbolic of some other things, but they have nothing to do with you being saved. The only way you're going to be ready to meet God and to come back as one of his servants and he be the king of your life for all of eternity is you've got to be born again. You say, well, I've been baptized. I was baptized as an infant. That's not salvation. That doesn't purchase you anything. You say, well, I joined a church one time and I got baptized. That doesn't mean you're saved. Most people who join a church and get baptized have been saved, no doubt. But there are a lot who say, I just joined a church. They signed a piece of paper. They went forward. And the preacher said, you want to join the church? And they said, yeah, I do. Well, are you willing to be baptized? Yes, I am. And they signed a little piece of paper, or somebody did it for them, and they joined the church. I ask people sometime, are you saved? And they say, yeah, I joined the church when I was a little girl. No, 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 that's not what I'm asking you. I'm not asking you, did you join the church? Whatever church it is, I'm asking you, have you been saved? Have you been born again? Folks, this is serious business. This is not, if you're wrong on that, you're eternally wrong. And all I ask you to do, don't check with some religious leader, somebody, check with this book. And you're going to find out this book tells you there's only one way to heaven. And it's not through a catechism. It's not through a Baptist teaching or training program or anything like that. It is through coming to grips with the fact, hey, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I need a Savior. The only one who died for me was Jesus. Only Jesus. No other woman, no other man. Only Jesus took our place on the cross. That's why he says, if whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we believe in our heart and our mind that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, and we're willing to confess that with our mouth sometime in a place. If I were to ask you, have you ever been born physically? You'd say, yeah. And I'd say, well, do you know when or where or anything? You said, no, I don't really know any much about it. I think I was born. I'm here. No, friend, there ought to be a time. Listen to me now. There should be a time and a place. You may not remember the exact day, the date of it. I remember that I got saved on a Sunday night in a little country church. I remember that I was 9 years of age. I cannot tell you the exact day because I wasn't paying attention to the calendar back in those days like I have to now. But I can tell you, I know that one day, one night at that little country church, I knew I was on my way to hell and I needed to be born again. I needed a Savior. And I walked down that aisle and I accepted Jesus Christ, I believe, in the pew before I ever got down there. I believe that he died for me and I asked him to save my soul. I believe he did that. You've got to do something like that. You've got to be born again. It's not all this other stuff. You say, well, preacher, I'm a good person and I'm trying my best to get to heaven. Trying my best. You can't be good enough. You say, well, you don't know me. You don't know how good I am. I know how imperfect you are because I know the Bible says we're all imperfect. There's none righteous, no, not one. That means everybody must have a Savior if they're going to heaven. And I'm telling you, there's nothing any more important than that. That's what Christmas is all about. Receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then if he's your Savior, he ought to be the Lord of your life tonight. Amen. He should not just be king later on in the millennial reign, but he ought to be king right now. He ought to be the boss of every habit you have, of every thought you have, bringing every thought into captivity. Why? Because he's the king. He's the Lord. He's the master. We ought to be living for him. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed.